This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest fantasy series is going strong. Readers have enjoyed Diamond Stained. Now Oban and Avena return for their fifth and final story. Things have never been more dangerous. They have survived the chaos of Cash, explored the dark mysteries of the Ruby Ruins, protected the Obsidian Mine, and obtained the Emerald Strength. But can they survive the Amethyst Shattering? The entirety of the five-book Secret of the Jewels series is out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by MG Vieira. She's the author of the paranormal thriller Lux, the Veritas series, Book 1.
How are you doing today, MJ?
I'm well. How are you?
I am in the middle of moving, so that's always a disaster.
Ooh, that's no fun.
Yeah. And I still don't know where I'm living. I just know my landlord told me I have to leave.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on Facebook. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, it's life. But I still have another.
It is. Like, it still sucks.
Yeah. So, I always like to start out these things with some fun questions. So, are you a cat person or a dog person?
I'm a both person. I have both, and I absolutely love both of them. However, my cat's more my animal right now than the dog. He seems to be more the kid than the husband's, but I like both, which doesn't help people out.
So, if you could travel to anywhere in the world, where would that be?
Ooh, that's a good one. I have a lot of places I'd love to see, but I think first on my list would have to be Ireland, Ireland and Scotland, because that's where my ancestry's from, and I've just been fascinated with that since I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, no, my grandfather's family is Irish. They came over in the late 1800s.
Oh, that's cool. My maiden name's Hamilton, so we have this whole big genealogy all the way back in Scotland and Ireland. So I'd like to trace it someday.
Yeah, my mother's maiden name is Doneen. And so there's like a castle or something like that in Ireland. Yeah.
Yes.
So when did you know you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I didn't really become an actual author until about 6 years ago, and that kind of just sprung up on me. But I started writing when I was a teenager. It helped me work through some major issues. My mom had breast cancer. I'm an avid horse rider too. So between riding and writing, I was able to kind of work through that very difficult time in my life. And then about 6 years ago, another bout of turmoil came up, and I just started kind of plunking away, sent it to a couple friends, and they were like, you should really keep going with this. So I don't know, Lux was born, and I kept kind of trying. So it really wasn't something that I just decided one day. It kind of worked gradually up on me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. I think there's a lot of authors that use writing as therapy.
Yes, it's a lot cheaper in the long run until you want to publish, but that's another story.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, that's definitely not a cheap thing to do.
No.
So, what led you to actually publishing?
Well, as I said, I started the intro to my first book, Lux. I was actually watching a music video, and it kind of just triggered something, and I started writing it out. And I sent it to a couple friends, and they're like, yeah, you should keep going with that. We want to see what happens. So it just kind of, one thing after another, I just kind of kept going scene by scene. And they just kept encouraging me until finally I had a full book.
Okay. So Lux, it's a paranormal thriller, is that correct?
Yes. I mean, it's kind of hard to really pin it down, to be perfectly honest with you, but that's usually what I classify it as.
Okay. So is there any challenges to writing in that sort of genre?
Well, I'd say it's a pretty saturated genre. There's a lot of people in it. So I don't really think of the ideas as, and the writing part as being the hard part. It's really marketing and trying to get people's attention, which is really, yeah. I mean, that's author's probably biggest crux when you get right down to it. But I love that genre. I love fantasy. I love anything like that. So I don't have a shortage of ideas. I'd say my biggest issue, honestly, writing in general is just I have a full-time job. I'm a mom. I have some health issues.
What's your biggest issue?
Is just time constraint, to be honest with you, between working and being a mom and all that other stuff. By the time I get done with all that, it's sitting down and doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, so that's really my biggest issue personally.
I can understand that. It's, I guess, the advantage to me being single. I just only have myself to worry about.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, do you ever have a hard time getting motivated?
I beat a work habit into myself, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And so it feels weird if I don't just do it, because it's what my body's like, you need to be doing this. And I'm like, yep, I need to be doing this. Because I feel like I'm a very lazy person, and if I let myself get out of the habit of it, it'll be very hard for me to get it back.
That makes sense. It's probably something I need to do, because I mean, I'll be honest, I'm lazy too. By the time I get done, like I said, work, I'm like, man, I don't want to write.
when I was working full time, I would actually wake up early and write before I went to work. Otherwise, I'd get home from work and I'd be too tired.
That makes sense.
So that's I'd an hour before I had to go to work, I would sit down and write. When my hour was up, it was time for me to go to work. Let's talk about paranormal thriller, though. What differentiates that from, like, a normal thriller?
Well, it's definitely the paranormal genre of it. I mean, you've got, with Lux, it's angels and demons and some other creatures that I kind of made up on the fly. So, you know, I like to add a lot of psychological thriller as much as I can, because I love that too. I read a lot of psychological thrillers, so
noticed that in the blurb. It very much is a book that is questioning like identity and trust, and it sounds very interesting.
Absolutely. Thanks.
So Jade is your main character. So I just like, why don't you tell the listeners a bit about her and what makes her such a compelling character to read about?
Jade wakes up in a completely different world and has to figure out who is trustworthy and who isn't. She learns that she is the captain of the guard for Malum, who's this king in this new world. But she still has all her memories of her past life, as in the life we would live right now. So dueling between those two memories, and then you have the fact that there's a lot of other characters in the book that are constantly making her question what is going on. And you learn later on in the series that the people she thinks she can trust, she can't. And it's really more of a story about self-discovery and figuring out your own strengths as opposed to relying on other people. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, we all have our struggles. We all have our inner demons, and Jade's fighting through that the entire series to the apocalyptic point that, you know, she has to make that ultimate decision, her or the people she loves.
Okay. So, tell us a bit more about this sort of world that she finds herself in. What makes it different from our world?
It's kind of a post-apocalyptic. It's very dark. That is the one thing that I strove for and I seem to have really hit, is that it is a very dark world. The land masses are still basically the same, but Malum rules, and you have basically pockets of civilization here and there, and the rebels who are trying to bring back order the way it was before Malum kind of ruined everything. Okay. But Jade finds out the book that she helped bring about the end of the world. So, you know, it's kind of a dystopia in that sense of the thought. But to be honest with you, when I wrote it, it was before I ever read The Hunger Games or any of that stuff. So I didn't even realize when I made it that that was even a genre at the time. So Whoops.
Well, yeah, it's actually a fairly fairly old genre. Although The Hunger Games kind of took it
into
optimistic direction. Because usually in the dystopic story, your hero does not win. Your hero is crushed by the society. That's how it used to go like, in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
But that seems to be changing these days. They're more more hopeful.
Yeah, well, and everything. Stories. Everything. Sorry, it delayed. I'm not trying to talk over you. Everything kind of morphs and progresses. I guess I knew dystopia was a thing, but it wasn't. It was kind of an abstract idea to me at the time because I had never really read a lot of those books. I hadn't really watched a lot of those movies. You know, and then it was defined, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, identity and trust, that's a really big part of the book. So what led you to go with that direction for a theme?
Did you say identity and trust?
Yeah. Why did you choose to write about that as, like, the major theme of the book?
Because, yeah, that's what I was going through at the time. As you said, it was kind of a therapy session in a lot of ways, and I was fighting through a lot of very personal battles at the time, and it was a way for me to work out everything going on. And I found that more people I've spoken to have had those same issues. So it's a relatable, it's a relatable problem for a lot of people.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Let me get my thoughts gathered. You talked about that you had various, sort of fantasy races in your story. One of them I noticed in the blurb was called Luxans. I was curious what those were.
Luxans are basically the humans that Malum has taken into his fold. So they see him as the king. Lux stands for, means light in Latin. So he's basically portraying himself as the light of humanity, even though A, he's not human, and B, he's very far from the light. So that's what the Luxans are. It's more of a
Sepharian character.
Yes. he's not a nice individual, we'll put it that way.
Other than Jade and Malum, are there any other interesting characters in the books that particularly ones that your readers like?
The reader fan favorite seems to be Onyx. He is a blind advisor to Malum. And you find out later that he has a much deeper, and he's very old and very powerful, but he's extremely quiet. He watches and waits and basically leads Jade where she needs to be. But he's also extremely fierce, and he's not someone you want to mess with. So he's kind of another one of those you have to take a step back and see, is he trustworthy? Is he not? He plays the chameleon game very well.
Okay. That one made me smile because I just finished finishing a book series yesterday writing, and one of the characters in it is named Onyx.
And he's
very much a mysterious kind of mentor figure to my main character.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
He is a mentor in a lot of ways to Jade too. But she doesn't trust.
Oh man. Okay. So the character, she gets a name in the book, and that name is Jade. Onyx formed a group of like thieves, and they're all named after gemstones, and he chose Jade for. So this is super weird convergence here that's just blowing the mind right now, because her story is all about figuring out who she is as well. So
is it out?
No, I just finished writing the final book yesterday, and then I'm going to be editing them all over the fall, and it'll be out early next year.
Okay, well, I'll be keeping an eye out for it. That's epic.
So, that is great. So, You rather like writing sort of imaginative fiction. Have you written anything else besides your Lux your Lux story? Lux, it's a series, right? Yes.
Yeah, it's called the Veritas series. Yes, I have another series. I have two books out in called the Mangian Chronicles, and that's a high fantasy series. I have some other anthology pieces out in various works, and I have a short story called Route 201 that's a horror story. So I've got a little
right now. Fireweed, right? That's the title, the first of your Mangian books?
Yes.
That is a very it's a very fascinating title. I just was browsing through your author list, so I didn't really look into it too much, but what's that one about?
Fireweed and Firebird they're basically two novellas that start off the series, and you are brought into a completely different world where the Mangians are on one side and they're a mage-like race, and they're at war with the vampires, who are not like vampires we know now. They actually did have elemental magic, but it has since dissipated with the warring of their gods. So I made a whole new pantheon with this, and it gets pretty in-depth, and that's why I wanted the first two stories out, was to explain the background of each. So Fireweed, this figure Io appears, and with her is a prophecy of the Fireweed. Fireweed's a plant that sprouts up after fire ravages a land, and it basically signals rebirth. So Io appears and basically plunges the vampires into a whole kind of reworking of their structure. And in the meantime, you have the Mangians on the other side and Firebird, and you have basically two twins who a palace coup happens with their kind of evil stepmother. But in the meantime, there is a god named Ol, who's basically the Sandman, appears with Sita, one of the twins. And they have to basically reconcile with the vampires in order to save their world from destruction.
Okay. That does sound rather interesting. So I was also noticing when I was reading your author bio, you mentioned your work often contains adult content. Is there anything that particularly draw you towards having, you know, such explicit content in your stories?
I always love action movies, so I do a lot of action in my books. There's a lot of fight scenes, and sometimes they get graphic. I do have sex scenes. I just think they add to the story, especially.
Okay.
I'm in place for each of them, so I try not to overdo it on either side. But they're definitely not, especially Veritas is not for kids. Okay. But yeah, I have violence.
Yeah, I was just noticing that. I just thought, you know, maybe there was a something. I was just curious. You don't often see that one on author. But, so I was just like, oh, okay, this must have like quite a bit of sexual violence in it, which, you know, that's always.
Well, yeah, and I have a lot of friends who have kids, and they're like, oh, we want our kids to read your books, and I'm like, you should probably wait. So I just put that up there just. That way no one can buy it, and, you know, well, there wasn't a content warning, and I bought it for Susie, who's 12, and, yeah, you know.
Yeah, well, I know. I remember back, like, I grew up in the 90s, and, you know, there was the Piers Anthony books were in with all the other fantasy books, and he quite often had fairly graphic sex scenes in them, and I'm here, this little junior high student,
going, like, absolutely oh, did. Yes. It's like, what is this? Well... Yeah.
So, what are your influences on your writing?
I am a huge Tolkien fan, so that's one big one. I also enjoy a lot of Laurel K. Hamilton. The first like 10 books of the Anita Blake series. After that, it got a little, I just couldn't get into it. But Tolkien is a huge influence. Well, that's a case of. I love the characters, but she got way too in the weeds with the sex part, and I'm not going to read a book for sex. That's just me. So I just lost interest. But I also enjoy Karen Marie Monning a lot. I love her storytelling craft. I love Karen Slaughter.
Never heard of her. What does she write?
Karen Marie Monning wrote the Fever series, which is a dark fae-based series. It's kind of an apocalyptic world, too. She also wrote a romance series called The Highlanders, but I never read those. Like I said, not a huge romance person, but I definitely draw from a lot of fantasy and anything I can get my hands on, really. I read a lot of stuff, but the big one definitely would be Tolkien.
Okay. So what is coming up for you next in your writing career?
I have a lot of projects in the works, but as we just discussed earlier in the conversation, I'm kind of bad about sitting down and actually getting everything done. So I just released Aquitus, which was the third book in the Veritas series, and I do actually already have another one kind of in the staging planning period right now. So I do have that coming out. I have another book in the Mangian Chronicles drafted out. Route 201 will have a follow-up, and I do have a few other little anthology pieces coming out within the year. So it's a busy year. I do have another story coming out that's going to be for a friend that committed suicide. The proceeds will go to Scars Foundation, which was, well, it is a mental health awareness foundation put on by Sally Erna from Godsmack. So that'll be a Viking-based story. Okay. And then I have one called Familiar, which will be a witch. Thank you. He was a great person, but
the demon. You really do have a lot of stuff in the works.
I do. I find I can't focus on one thing very well because I'll get stuck and then I'll get frustrated and I'll get in a rut. So if I have multiple projects going, I can kind of flip through, and it helps me creatively. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of like that too. So where can our listeners find you on the internet?
I am mostly on Facebook. Feel free to add me on there. I also have my Amazon page. I am on Twitter, Viera_MJ. I'm on Instagram, so you can pretty much find me wherever. Just pop a line and say hi and let me know who you are.
All right. It was really great talking to you, MJ.
It was great talking to you, too. Sorry about my connectivity issues.
Yeah, it might be my connectivity issues, too.
Decepticons are ruling the world.
Oh, yeah. All right. You have a good one.
You too.